This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
MVP's in 1776.
Despite 40 inches of snow, congested roads, and very cold temperatures, thousands of New England Patriots fans came out today to celebrate their team's Super Bowl victory last Sunday. A procession of duck boats carrying the players snaked from Prudential Center to City Hall Plaza. Tom Brady waved with his son in his lap. Coach Bill Belichick hoisted the Lombardi trophy over his head. And Julian Edelman celebrated with a dance. Among the throngs of fans was Justin Coonan from Duxbury.
Yeah, I'm pretty damn happy.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we waited 10 years to win again. And that's how much it means to the people. That's how much it means to the fans.
WBUR's Fred Bever was there for the celebration. He's with us now. Hi, Fred.
Hello, Anthony.
You're looking much warmer than when you first walked in the building a little while ago. Give us a sense of what it was like out there, judging from Mr. Coonan from Duxbury. Sounds like people were having a pretty good time.
Look, if you can be triumphant and giddy at the same time, that was the general mood. People were happy. They couldn't contain themselves. They were jumping up and down like Tom Brady, maybe to stay warm, but it was a genuine and exuberant celebration.
As we know, lots of snow out there, and there was concern that a lot of folks wouldn't be able to get into the city and show up for this. What kind of numbers actually showed up?
Well, it's hard to tell. Boston police don't generally give out counts like that. Certainly, there were thousands. I didn't make it across the entire parade route. There was people maybe four to at the height of when the duck boats were coming, seven people deep. I can say that at the corner of Tremont and Boylston, where I was also during the 2013 November World Series parade for the Red Sox, there were more people there. It was warmer, too.
Right. Now, Fred, pretty cold out there. Did the weather have any kind of effect on the parade?
Well, no and yes. I mean, I'm sure it kept some people in, but it certainly didn't dampen spirits. I certainly saw lots of wet shoes, but also plenty of people who were very well prepared for the weather. This is New England, after all, as one fan told me. We don't care about this. We're just out here to have some fun.
All right. Well, let's listen to Lucas Catterbury from Weymouth.
Championships keep me warm, my friend. I just want to see everyone have a good time. I'm more than happy to be here today.
And Lucas was on his way in. He was in the opening line for a pub to go get some breakfast and drinks, as he told me. So I think he had some very warming cheer through the morning, just up above the Prudential Center on Boylston.
Right. Now, Fred, there was a lot of debate about whether Boston should have had this parade at all after the snowstorm and the troubles with the tea. Any reflection of that out there today?
Well, actually, the people I spoke to about that were relatively pleased. Most people came in via the T, as Mayor Walsh asked people to do, and they were okay with it. They said it was pretty smooth. Again, it's just anecdotal, but I think the T did make the effort to make things better today. So relatively, things were good. I also spoke to a family from Maine who had no problem getting into the city. So, happiness was the rule. You didn't find the general unhappiness that you found yesterday, certainly.
Sure. Now, the mayor canceled a rally that usually follows parades like this. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I was at his press conference on Monday, and it seemed then that the thinking was that City Hall Plaza just required so much work to clear all of the snow out of there. The mayor wanted to dedicate resources to clearing snow so people could get to work and kids could get to school. Also, as part of that was originally the parade was going to be yesterday when the temperatures were going to be very cold, and the mayor at that point didn't want encourage people to stand around in the ultra freezing cold. But I think all in all, Wednesday proved to be a better day than Tuesday to hold that parade.
All right. That's WBUR's Fred Bever reporting on today's duck boat parade by the Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Bill Littlefield is with us now. He's host of NPR's Only a Game, and he joins us every Wednesday to talk sports, and he's with us now. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So, Bill, you heard Fred Bever there. We know there was a debate about whether Boston should have held this rally at all, given all the snow-snarled streets. But yesterday, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh was adamant that the parade would not be postponed again.
We won't have a team here on Saturday to have a parade. A lot of the players go on vacation after today, and they won't be around on Saturday. So if we were to put the parade off till Saturday, it seems like a great idea, and it might be a great idea. The problem is that we wouldn't be having the players that we want to cheer on here in the city of Boston.
So we had that parade today. What'd you think about holding it?
I think it would have been a great idea to put it off till Saturday, because the players who did stick around, we would know they were the ones who really cared enough to accept the cheers from their fans. I don't know. When I heard this was happening, I thought it was an awful idea, because people are trying to get in. I've talked to, I mean, colleagues here who had two-hour commutes, something that usually takes 40 minutes, and to clog up the city with all the people coming in and with the parade and everything else seemed to be hardly the greatest good for the greatest number. But I'm just glad it all worked out okay. According to what Fred said, it seems to have gone off pretty much without a hitch, and yeah, I'm grateful for that.
And what about what the mayor said? I mean, if they'd put this off till Saturday, a parade without the players, that would
There would have been some players. That's the point. The ones who cared enough, the ones who, you know, players are always talking about how we do it for the fans or we're dedicated to the fans. We would have seen how dedicated they were to the fans, because we would have seen how many of those duck boats were empty.
I see. Okay. Well, Bill, we haven't had a chance to talk about last Sunday's game, and I was struck by how many people seem to be swept up in the excitement, even non-football fans, of which there is at least one in my house. So everyone seemed very excited. What did you think?
Well, first of all, your appreciation for the numbers is absolutely correct. Apparently, it was not only the most popular Super Bowl in terms of people watching it; it was the most popular television program. It was the most popular halftime show. It set all sorts of records, and this, despite the very dubious season, a lot of the stuff that had happened that was very dubious over the season, child abuse, spousal abuse, and all the rest. The game itself, of course, was fantastic. I mean, any game that comes down to the final seconds and features not only an incredibly acrobatic catch, but also what some people are calling the single dumbest call from the sideline that anybody has ever seen, and that sees the whole thing turn within seconds of the end of the game, you know, there's a excitement there. And, of course, great excitement on the part of the NFL, because people watch the whole thing, which means they watched all the commercials, which means that next year those commercials will be even more expensive.
Now, Bill, you and I often talk about rooting for the story rather than rooting for the team. I know that's sort of your one of your credos here. But what's your favorite storyline that came out of this game?
Well, I think one of my favorite storylines is the fact that the NFL always presents itself as so disciplined and so kind of buttoned up. You know, you get fined if your socks are the wrong length or if you wear a headband that isn't NFL approved. And yet this game ends with the most ingloriously silly series of plays and then a brawl at the end, in which arguably the single stupidest act in sports is to swing barehanded at a man who has a football helmet on. and we saw it.
Let me ask you this finally. I have to say, here's what I'm left feeling with. I feel a lot of sympathy for our friends in Seattle. I mean, it wasn't that long ago and it seemed to be Boston's lot to suffer these horrendous last-minute reverses on the sports fields and heartbreak and so on and so forth. And as last-minute reversals go, Malcolm Butler's interception was really one for the ages. Does your heart go out for the folks in Seattle?
My heart would go out to the folks in Seattle much more thoroughly if they hadn't won last year. You know, it hasn't been that long since they were Super Bowl champs.
You raise a good point.
But you're absolutely right. It was a tough loss, no question about that. You hate to see a team snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, and that is precisely what Seattle did.
Let's move on. I want to ask you quickly about the Boston Beanpot Hockey Tournament, which will conclude next Monday. Mm-hmm. Northeastern, not a school known for being a hockey powerhouse, upset Boston College this year, which is known for being a powerhouse. They won the last five Beanpot titles. Northeastern has had a 26-year drought. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, not only a 26-year drought, Northeastern has won the Beanpot a total of four times. And that might sound pretty swell, except that BU has won it 29 times and BC has won it 19 times. So Northeastern is, in fact, no pun intended, the mutt in this particular tournament. The Hounds of Huntington Avenue are the mutts. But, boy, what a cool thing that they made it through the first round and that they have a shot for Beanpot title number five. I love it.
Really? So what are your predictions for the finals?
Northeast? I never, ever, ever make predictions on this kind of thing because anything could happen. But my heart is with Northeastern just because they've done it so infrequently.
Talk about rooting for a great story.
Absolutely.
All right. Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it right here on WBUR Saturday morning at 7 and again at 7 in the evening. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Anthony.
And one final thought about the Super Bowl, this time from our friends at NPR member station KUOW in Seattle. Before the Super Bowl, KUOW challenged WBUR and its Boston listeners to a bet and a verbal duel about which city is better. The bet called for the losing Super Bowl city to read the winning city's listener-generated list. So here's Karen Mathis, president and general manager of KUOW in Seattle.
And so now, here are the top five reasons that Boston is better than Seattle, courtesy of WBUR's Facebook fans. Number five, Boston and WBUR are the home of Car Talk, submitted by many WBUR listeners. Number four, Christopher Suh says Boston has a real subway and trees that change colors. Number three, Deborah Delaney says everything that happens in Seattle happened in Boston 3 hours ago. Number two, Maren Brunt says New England invented America. And finally, the number one reason that Boston is better than Seattle, it's the hometown of the reigning Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Wow, that was even more painful than I had imagined. But a bet's a bet. Thanks for joining in the fun, WBUR.
And thank you, Karen Mathis, president and general manager of KUOW in Seattle. Listeners, stay with us. We'll size up Governor Charlie Baker's proposal to close a mid-year deficit with the former state watchdog, Michael Widmer. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.